We're holding on Daf Tzadik Amud Aleph by the Mishnah, top of the Amud. Mishnah says, a man shouldn't divorce his wife unless he finds in her a dvar erva, that she acted in an unsneistic way. Now, it doesn't mean that she was actually mezana. Then there's no question he has to divorce. So what we're talking about, the Gemara had talked about previously a couple of in the last couple of Daphim, if she's acting in a pritzistic way, you have, for example, that Rashi had given an example on Peitesa, but Aleph Shasichaka Bashuk, that she was laughing in a brazen way in the street, or Miyachla Ben Dader, or somebody was pressing her on her chest, or Gilgara, she was walking around with her head held high or whatever. So those kinds of things we're talking about is Erevas Dover. So Beis Shammai says that's the only legitimate reason for a man to divorce his wife. Well, Beis Hillel and Rav Hillel, Beis Hillel says even if she only burnt or oversalted his food, then that's valid enough reason to divorce her. A number of Rishonim say, and it's also brought Lahalacha, we don't just mean that she accidentally salted, she accidentally oversalted his food, we mean she burnt it, whatever, we mean that she did it deliberately. So Beis Hillel holds that that would be a valid reason for divorce. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says even if there's nothing wrong with her, just that he found another woman who's more attractive to him than her, then that's a valid reason. Shenema, sorry, I skipped the line. Rabbi Hillel, Shenema, because Beis Hillel says the pasuk says that he found in her ervas dover. Where Beis Hillel holds, it doesn't mean an erva, a matter of erva per se. It just means, in other words, there's an erva or a dover, something else wrong that she did. So therefore, it doesn't have to be dafka. Doesn't have to be dafka, a matter of erva. Anything else where he finds that she's not acting in the way that he appreciates. And Rabbi Akiva says,
She didn't do anything wrong. It said if she did something wrong, but she didn't do anything wrong. Hashem made her a certain way, and she's married for 10, 15 years, has children, and she doesn't look the
So
same way she did before.
wait, we'll talk about 1 second. So wait, Rabbi Akiva says, even if he finds another one who's more attractive than her, then that's also a valid reason that he could divorce her. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, if she doesn't find favor in his eyes. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying basically, no, it may not be her fault, but in other words, he doesn't feel attracted to her anymore, and therefore that would be a valid reason to divorce her. There is the point. Some people make the point. Actually, we know Rabbi Akiva himself with Rachel. She made him what he is. So he knows very well what it means to love. So what it means to love somebody and that they do everything for you and make you who you are. So he's saying basically that if a man feels that, he doesn't have that kind of attraction to his wife anymore, then you know what? Why should he make life miserable for her anymore? Just divorce her and let her marry somebody else and let him marry somebody that he'll be more compatible with. With that said, the halacha is among these three opinions. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. In fact, the Rambam points out, the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. If he doesn't find her attractive, why divorce her? Well, marry another wife then, if you want, dafka. As we know, back when you were allowed to, before Chayim Geber Negoshim, then do that. With all of that said, there was a long sicha where the Rebbe talks about in great detail analyzing this whole machlokas over here, what's going on over here, that we're saying that, first of all, don't we usually find that Shammai is more machmir and Beis Hillel is more meikle? How is it that here Beis Shammai is allowing so easily to get divorced and Beis Hillel is saying, or rather Beis Shammai is not allowing it so easily and saying only in extreme circumstances, and Beis Hillel is allowing more often that there can be divorce and Rabbi Akiva even more so. Rabbi Akiva, we know, was a chassid. He's always looking for the good of the Jewish people. How could he say such a thing? I feel a matzah acheres na himena, that just because you find somebody more beautiful. So there's a long, long sicha from the Rebbe from Tavshin Yud Tes Chaf Av. So we just passed Chaf Av actually, where part of it is also in part of it is a little bit of it is also in the Sichas and Chelik Dalid.
Something happened and froze. We don't hear you. We don't hear you. Oh, hello? It froze. We don't hear you. Rabbi, we don't hear you. We couldn't hear you before, so I went out and I came back. Couldn't hear you. We don't hear you. We don't hear you. We don't hear you. We can't hear you.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah,
Oh,
there's a glitch.
now I hear you. Now I hear you. Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, there was a glitch with the internet over here. All right. Sorry. So I was in the middle of saying that the Rebbe talks about that the husband and wife relationship represents a person's avoda. So a person has a certain kind of avoda, and then you can have eventually a person feels that he's not, it's not speaking to him. He doesn't have a geschmack in it. So what should he do? Beis Shammai then holds that look, it's your avodah, you have to stick to it, unless matzah ba'ervas davar, unless you find that it's literally taking you away from acting out the Torah or something, then you have to stick to it no matter what. That's according to their svara that they always look for, that they're always machmir. This Hillel says no, even if it's giving it's not necessarily against halacha per se, but for example, it's interfering with other areas of your avodah, and that's reason enough to give that up and take on a different avodah. And Rabbi Akiva would say, I feel a matzah acheras nahimena. No, even if it just you don't feel a smack in it anymore, then that's reason enough to give it up. So therefore, it comes out that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva all going with Shitasam, where Beis Shammai is usually machmir and Beis Hillel is mekel and so forth. And Rabbi Akiva is a chassid and always looks out for the best in every yid. But yeah, other than that, yeah, but on the more simple, straightforward level, yeah, Rabbi Akiva is saying once matzah acheres nahimena, then look, you know, at this point, it's unless you can patch things up, unless he can actually retrain himself to look at her positively and restore that relationship, then there may be no choice but to do a get and start all over with somebody else. So the Gemara starts off, Tanya, Omer bis Hillel bis Shem, v'alekva nemar dover. Now, Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, what are you telling me the only valid reason for, what are you telling me the only valid reason for a get is erva? It doesn't say just say erva, it says ervas dover. So what are you doing with the word dover? Omer lahem Beis Shammai, so Beis Shammai answers back, v'alei kva nema ervas, nu, and it says ervas, what are you doing with that? Omer lahem Beis Hillel, so Beis Hillel answers, that's different. Ibn nema ervas, v'alei nema dover, we would say, if it only said ervas in the pasuk and it didn't say dover, then you would say, ha'yisi oimu mishum erva teitze, mishum dover loy teitze. You would say what it means is only if there was a matter of erva, then it's a valid reason to divorce her. But if it was only dover, if it was only something else that she did wrong, Loy takes it, and then she shouldn't divorce. L'chach nemer dover. So therefore, we say the word dover comes to include not only erva, but anything else that she did wrong. And vice versa, ilu nemer dover v'lo nemer ervas. And on the other hand, if it only said dover without ervas, and you're asking, so we're telling you after all, it says dover, so you have to figure out what we're doing with it. We'll tell you what we do with it. We would say, how you see, Omer, mishum dover tinosil acha mishum erva. You would think maybe what the pasuk means is if it was because of dover, if it was because, for example, she burnt his food or otherwise made life difficult for him, then fine. The Torah is saying she can get divorced and she'll still be able to remarry somebody else afterwards. But you would think, mishum erva lo tinosel acha, maybe without the word erva in the pasuk, you would think maybe erva is much more serious. And if it was a matter of erva, maybe the Torah is saying that after she's divorced, she's never allowed to remarry anybody else. So v'chach nema ervas. That is why it says ervas. So therefore, Bis Hillel says, we have an explanation for both words in the pasuk, but you, Bis Shammai, seem to be missing an explanation for what we would do with the word dover. So what are they going to do with dover? That we'll see soon. So that the Gemara says now, actually, Bis Shammai, hi, dover my apile, knew what does Bis Shammai do with the word dover? And the answer is they say, when they use it for gzeira shav, nema kan dover, v'nema lahalam dover, you have the pasuk in this week's parasha by the mouth of two edim or three edim, the word is established, the matter is established, meaning you need two or three edim to establish anything in Beis Din. So as Shammai says, we use the word dover for gzeira shava. We learn from that malahalam b'shnei edim afkan b'shnei edim. Same way as in general, edus requires two edim. The same way over here. When do we say that a woman should be also to her husband? Is only if there's two edim of erva, not just if there's only one, or like I talked about on daf pei tes, not if there was just rumors going around or whatever. That's not a valid enough reason to aser her to her husband. If he wants to divorce her, then fine. But Shammai is saying that Ervas Dover is reason enough to do, it's a valid reason to divorce her. But to actually ask her to him and to say she's not allowed to stay married to him, that with Shammai says, we learn from the word Dover that you need two Edim to establish that. Okay, or Bis Hillel. Now, what does Bis Hillel answer to that? After all, they agree with that din also. They say, after all, yeah, but miksiv erva bid dover, sure, but it doesn't say that he found in her erva in a matter, where there we would say that it means the erva requires dover, requires two edim, as you're using the word dover for the gzeira shava. It doesn't. It says dvar, it says ervas dover. So it doesn't say erva bid dover, it says ervas dover, an erva of a matter. So therefore, Bissell says, we can still understand that erva is one thing and dover is another thing, and it means one or the other. Or Bis Shammai would answer to that. Miksiv oy erva oy dover. Bis Shammai says, sure, but if you're arguing that they're two separate things, then the Torah should have made it clear. It should have said either erva or dover, one or the other. So so ervas dover, after all, ervas means the erva of. So it implies the erva that has to do with dover. Namely, Bis Shammai is going to say, therefore, we're going to say that it means only because of erva. And how is that erva established? Only with dover, only with two edim. So therefore, Bis Shammai says, you can't say that they're two separate things. And you're going to say that you're going to break up the pasuk and you're going to break up the pasuk and learn and learn that they're two separate dinim. Bis Hillel would answer back, Lahochi, Ksiv Ervas Dover, the Mashmahochi, or Mashmahochi. Bis Hillel would say, you're right, you know what? If it had said Erva Bid Dover, then it would have to mean only like the way you, Bis Shammai, are saying, that it means an Erva which is established by Dover by two Aiden. And conversely, if it said Oi Erva, Oi Dover, then for sure it would mean exactly what we say, it's one or the other. Because it says Ervas Dover, then it means both things. It means that it can be either erva or dover, but it also means that if it's erva, then that erva to ask her to her husband has to be established through two edim. So that's how Bis Shammai and Bis Hillel learn the respective sukkim. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah of Akiva and Ma'afilu Matzah Acheres. Akiva says even if he finds another one who's more attractive than her, then it's a valid reason to divorce. And by the way, I mean, the majority opinion in halacha is that, as usual, when you have a machlokas, there's shammai v'shilul, the halacha is like v'shilul, as usual. However, there are rishonim. There's a late rishon called the Rashbash, Reb Shmuel, I think it was the son of the Rashbats. Anyway, he says in his Trubas that maybe in this case, this is one of these cases where the halacha is like this Shammai and lo yigadash elin kein matzah ba'erbas zavar. Even if not, the Rambam says that, and then this is brought in Shulchan Aruch that a man shouldn't be so quick to divorce his wife just stamazo. There should at least be a valid reason. We're not saying that it has to be ervas dover, but at least it should be something serious. Okay. Then we said Rav Akiva Omar filo motza acheres. Rav Akiva says even if he finds another one. So the Gemara says, but my commitment. What is the underlying machlokas between the opinions in our mission? So we said that this Shammai and this Hillel are arguing about the meaning of the words ervas dover, whether it means erva, which is established through dover, through two edim, or whether it means either erva or dover, either a matter of erva or some other thing that's going wrong between them. But now we have Rabbi Akiva, who says motza acheres, no himena. So how do we understand these three different opinions? What drives their machlokes? And the Gemara says, "Bidir Rish Lakish." They're arguing within what Rish Lakish says. The Amr Rish Lakish, he meshamish ba'arav l'shonis. Like this, you have in the pasuk. It says that he divorces her. Ki matza ba'arav asdavar. So, what does that word "ki" mean? So Rish Lakish points out, and you have this in a number of places in Shas, that the word "ki" can have four different meanings. It can mean "e," which means if; "dilma," perhaps; "ella," but. Or daha, because. And Rashi goes through in great detail over here and gives many examples of them, and also points out some of them have sub meanings. So Rashi points out, for example, let's say you have like this. You have mitzvahs, for example, in this week's parasha, for example, you have ki yimotze b'kirbacha. Ki, there is found in your midst, early in the parasha, it says there's a man or a woman who worshiped Avodah Zarah. So what does ki mean over there? It means if you find in your cities a man or a woman who worshiped Avodah Zarah, et cetera, et cetera. Then you have sometimes ki means ella, means however, and Rashi gives an example from Parshas Vayera. You have, for example, after Sarah laughed at the news that she's going to have a baby at 90 years old, and Hashem says to Avraham, why did Sarah laugh? So Avraham says to Sarah, why did you laugh? And she says, Lo tzachakti ki yareya. She says, I didn't laugh, ki, and there the ki means because I was afraid. Vayomer, and he answered, Lo, no, ki tzachak, rather, or however, you laugh. So there the word ki, that second ki in that pasuk, means however. Rashi gives other examples. You have from last week's parasha, don't close your hand to not give tzedakah to a poor person. Ki, rather, or however, open up your hand and give him tzedakah. And there's a few other examples. Sometimes it means maybe. So at the beginning of Parashas Ekev, for example, you have a pasuk where it says, ki soma bilavavcha, ki, you'll say in your heart, these nations are too numerous, they're more numerous than me. How am I going to defeat them? You shouldn't be afraid. So Rashi explains over here, and also on the pasuk, it can't mean if. What would it mean? If you say that, then you shouldn't be afraid. And if you don't say that, then you could be afraid. Either way, you shouldn't be afraid. It means perhaps it might happen that you're going to say in your heart, etc., etc., then Hashem is telling you, don't be afraid. And there's a few other examples like that. And then you also have, sometimes it means because, or that, asher. And again, Rashi gives some examples. Again, Lo tzachakti ki yareya, she says, Sora says, I didn't laugh because she was afraid. Yisrael says to Moshe, why are you sitting and judging all the people? And Moshe says, ki yava elai ha'am, because the people are coming to me to learn Torah and mitzvahs and to have dinei Torah and so on and so forth. So you have many examples like that. And then Rashi points out that again, that some of them have sub meanings. For example, you have sometimes ki means kasher, when. Well, that's kind of because. The winds over there, for example, doesn't mean if Hashem is going to bring you in. Of course Hashem is going to bring you in. It means when, which is a sub-meaning of because Hashem is going to bring you in to Eretz Yisrael, therefore, when that happens, this and this is what you should do, and so forth. So you have four different meanings of the word key. Anyway, so the point is now, how does that drive the machlokas in this pasuk, that the machlokas in our Mishnah? Beshamay Sabri. So Beshamay learns like this. The wife doesn't find favor in her husband's eyes. And what does the key mean? They understand key to have the fourth meaning, because he found in her ervas dover, therefore that she doesn't find favor in his eyes, and therefore he divorces her, implying that anything other than that is not a valid reason to divorce her because he hasn't found in her ervas dover. So now Bishilol agrees with that basic idea that key over here means daha. All they're doing is they're saying, like we said before, that ervas dover doesn't mean only erva; it means erva or dover. Rabbi Akiva saver ki motza, but ervas dover inami. So Rabbi Akiva learns that the key means or. So therefore he parses the pasuk like this, that if she doesn't find favor in his eyes, key or also, where again key is one of the meanings of key is if, and a sub meaning of if is or. So if matzah ba'er vastaver, then those are all valid reasons to divorce her. So that's the machlokas. Beshamai and Beshilol both hold that ki over here means daha, because, and Rabbi Akiva holds that it means if, or rather a sub meaning of if, which is or if. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar leh papa l'rabba, loy matzah ba'loy erva v'loy davar ma'bi." Now, what would happen if the husband didn't find in her? Neither, according to Bishilol, let's say Rashi says, he didn't find in her. Tosfos, by the way, points out that also within what Rashi is saying about the key mishamash b'dalat l'shoynus, that so Rashi had mentioned that a number of them, you can't say they mean if. For example, ki yivyacha, again, can't mean if Hashem brings you in. It means when Hashem brings you in, so therefore it's kind of like because. Tosfos says that's not really necessary. You find the word im occasionally is used to mean something definitive, like, for example, im kesef tal v'asam. Im takru min fas bikurim doesn't mean if you lend money to a poor person, you have a mitzvah to. Doesn't mean if you bring the korban armor, you have to. It means when. So the same way, the key, which means if, can also mean when. So I'm a little popular rabba. Loi matzah b'loi erva b'loi davar mabu. What if he didn't find in her any erva or any dover? According to Bishilol, that the only valid reasons to divorce her are because of erva or because of dover or something else that she did wrong. So now if he was over and divorced her mahu, what would be the din? Do we force him to remarry her or not? Omale, so Rava answers, midgali rachmona gabi onus la yuchal l'shalcha kol yomav, since we find by an onus where a man raped a naira besola, and the Torah says that if she wants to, if she and her father want, then he's obligated to marry her. We don't do that in Ksubas. And the Torah says he is never allowed to divorce her, which means kol yomav amod b'hafzer koi, which means that even if he does divorce her, the words kol yomav means for his entire life he has a mitzvah to return her. In other words, if he divorces her, which is against halacha, which he's not allowed to do, then he has a mitzvah to remarry. And only if, as we learned in Ksuvas, if for whatever reason he can't remarry her, for example, he's a Kohen and now she's a Grusha, or for example, she dies or whatever, then he gets Malchus. But anyway, there's actually a focus about that in Malchus. But anyway, the point is that it's a lav hanitekla esser. He has a lav not to divorce her, and if he divorces her, he has an esser to remarry her. So only by the onus does it say that. Also by the Motzi Shemra, but whatever. Anyway, the point is, Hosim hu degali rachmana. So only there does the Torah say that if he divorces her, then he has a mitzvah, and we force him to remarry her, implying aval hacha mai de avad avan. But over here, what's done is done. If he divorced her, even though Bishilol says he shouldn't have, unless there was erva or dover, but the idea that if he did, we don't force him to remarry her. In that sikha that Abba talks about, and then in some detail also, the idea being, again, given this idea that Abba developed with the where marriage represents the connection that a person has with his avoda, and divorce represents when he gives it up and takes on a different avoda. So basically, Rava is saying that, look, you know, according to Basilo, he shouldn't, unless it's really interfering with his other areas of avoda. But if he does, then b'di'evad, he should make the most of it and not figure, you know, well, it's hopeless now and I can't do anything and just give up altogether. But for after, also, for example, a person does Averis, let's say, or on a national level, the Jewish people have to a certain extent a divorce from Hashem, not really, but because after all, Hashem is always still married to us, but again, should never give up and think it's already, and then think it's done and it's hopeless. No, we say my job and all, but what's done is done. Don't cry over spilled milk. But now work on reconnecting to Hashem and reconnecting to a new kind of avodah. So the Gemara says, "Omaleta Meshashi Larova im Libri Legarsha Vehi Yeshevas Tachtavum Shamashto." What if a husband plans to divorce his wife? So the question was, by the way, as far as this. So the question was, do we force him to remarry her? And Rashi also says that the suffix is, do we punish him or do we not? And again, Rava is saying, we don't need to punish him. We don't do anything. It's a done deal, and the divorce is done. So the Gemara continues. Omaleta Meshashi Rava im Libri Legarsha. Suppose a husband plans to divorce his wife. And she's actually living with him still and serving him and having relations with him. Even Meshamashte can have both meanings. We learned in the Dardim that actually a man is not allowed to have relations with his wife if he plans to divorce her. So it's possible that Meshamashte over here doesn't actually mean to have relations. This means she's serving him like a woman usually, like a wife usually serves her husband. Anyway, Mahu, what is the din? Is there an issur in that? Is there an issur to do that? There is a discussion about that. A couple of the Rishonim, the Ravid and the Meiri, explain that that's why Mishamash doesn't mean Tash Mishmamash. The Taz, on the other hand, says that no, there is a concept of Grusha Salev that we learned about in the Dorim, where he plans to divorce her. That's if Loi Motza Ba'eras Dover. What if over here, the Mishashi is asking, learns the Taz, what if Motza Ba'eras Dover does have a valid reason, even according to his Shammai, to divorce her, but would he still be allowed to even have relations with her, or what should he do? Koryale, so Rava referred to a Meshashia to a posuk, Al Tafresh Al Reach Hara, don't think bad against your friend, when he is living in security with you. So meaning, in other words, so the simple meaning means exactly that. In other words, you have a friend who thinks that you're on good terms with him, then don't be secretly plotting evil against him. But here we're understanding that it means re'acho also means your wife, who should be your best friend, as the Gemara is going to go on to say soon. So therefore, so don't be thinking evil against her when they're sitting securely with you, and she thinks you're still in love with her, and then not. So don't do that. In fact, the Rambam brings this halacha in two different places. In one place, he talks issues and in Hilchos Geishin. He talks about this idea that a man shouldn't marry a woman with intent to divorce her. And then there's also, if he plans to divorce her, then he should tell her rather than stay married. There's a sicha where the Rebbe shtels the chana and points out how this relates to the relationship between us and Hashem, where after all, the Rebbe says in the sicha, you think about it, Hashem knows in advance everything that's going to happen. Hashem knows that Hashem knew when he first took us as his wife by Matan Torah that eventually we're going to mess up and we're going to do terrible Averis and we're going to go into Golos and so forth. So isn't that kind of like this thing where he marries her planning to divorce her, or over here where he's thinking of divorcing her and they're still staying married? And the gist of the answer is that the Rebbe says that after all, we're not truly ever divorced from Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, as the pasuk says, Eiza Sefer Krisus Imchem, Asher Shilachtia. Hashem says, you think you're divorced from Hashem, where's your Sefer Krisus? Where's your get? There is none because there is none. It's only ki'isha shahalach ba'alim minaseyam. There's a temporary separation, like when our husband goes overseas, but really there's no divorce ever, chas v'shalom, between us and Hashem. And therefore, you can't say that therefore Hashem is not being over on this halacha by marrying us, knowing that we're going to do aveiros. In fact, the Rebbe also goes on in that sicha, in that same sicha, touching your test, to talk about it in some detail. Why it is, I mean, here we've just learned an entire Masechta with all the details of Gerushin, and here the Gemara is sort of saying that Gerushin shouldn't really be in the first place. The Shammai is saying only in extreme circumstances. The Sibyl says in less extreme circumstances, like why doesn't this belong earlier in the Masechta? And the idea is because really there shouldn't really have to be Gerushin in the first place. There should never be a divorce. There should never be a separation between the Eivishter and us. Sometimes there has to be a temporary separation, but that's not the purpose of it. Really, is to come to a higher level, which is the next masechta, kiddushin, and that's also the Rebbe talks about. That's why all masechta begins with maybe getting a dinas agam, tzarach yem, b'fanan nechdam. The point is that the shliach is always there, and Hashem is always there with us through His shluchim, and therefore there's never really any separation between us and Hashem. Okay, the Gemara says. Tanya, we learn in a brisa, hayir of meyorimer, kishem shahadeis b'maychol, kach deis b'noshim. The same way as people have different opinions when it comes to food, as far as that some people are more picky than others, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, as far as a fly or other debris or whatever in their food, the same way kach deis b'noshim, the same way men have different opinions as far as their wives, as far as the pritzus of their wives and what they went, how much they're machbid on and what they do with that. So the first one, yesh lecha adam shezvuv noifal l'sef posay, you have the kind of person, a fly falls into his cup, v'zerkev v'enesh sehu, he throws out the entire cup and doesn't drink it. So that's an extreme way of doing things. The normal way would be you take out the fly and you drink the rest. That'll be the second. So, v'zui midas papus ben Yehuda. This was the midah of papus ben Yehuda, shenoyo b'fnei ishtoi v'yotzi. He would lock the door when he would leave in front of his wife. He would lock her inside the house. So that go out, so that way she can't talk with any man. Now that's not the right way that Rashi brings from a different Gemara that he was the husband of Miriam Megadlin Nashaya. Now there is an interesting discussion in this connection. There are other Gemaras that imply that Miriam Megadlin Nashaya was the mother of Oser Ish. And that the idea would be, in other words, precisely because her husband was so overbearing to her, therefore eventually she found, when she found an opportunity, that she was Mizana, and for her came Osirish. Tosfos elsewhere discusses maybe not, because there is a different Papus Ben Yehuda who's mentioned in a different Gemara that said that was in the time of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is a good 100 years after Osirish. So it may be the same one, it may be not, but the point is the Gemara is saying that Papus Ben Yehuda acted inappropriately. He went too far in making sure that his wife remains tniyistik, that this idea of locking the door and not allowing her to talk with anything. Then the yesh lecha adam shezvuv noifal b'sef kosei. Then you have the kind of man where a fly falls into his cup. V'zoto v'sheseihu, when he throws out the fly and drinks the rest of the cup. V'zui midas kol adam. This is the midah of most people. This is the normal kind of midah that everybody should have. That you mark it on princess, of course, but that the wife talks with her brother or with her brothers or with her relatives, and he doesn't mind. Now he may realize there may come a point where he's doing this excessively, and after all, there is altar b'sicha im isha, so he may eventually call her out on that when it gets to be excessive. But at least under normal circumstances, she has normal conversation with her brother or her relatives or whatever, and he's not mocked. But that's the kind of midah that a normal person that a normal man should have. Then the third one, the yesh lecha adam shezvuv noifal b'sech tamari. Then you have a man who a fly falls into his plate of food. And it's interesting that before we had in the first two metaphors was koisei, his cup, and here it was a tamchoi. Here it's a dish of food. So Marsha, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about after the third one. We'll talk about what Marsha says about this. And he sucks it out and eats it with all the food. So the parallel with a husband and wife, this is the midah of a bad man, he sees his wife going out with her hair uncovered. We learned to Ksubas that you have to a certain extent, as Daraisa, it has to be covered, and there's more Dirabanan that has to be covered. The Toiva Bashuk, or that she's spinning wool or whatever kind of thread in the marketplace, which is a pretty sophisticated thing to do because it causes her sleeves to ride up. And her clothes, or it's or, it's not all of these things, it's one or the other, or that her clothes are ripped up on the sides, by the, not ripped up, but open on the sides, meaning, so Rashi describes that you can see the area by Atsila Yadeha. Now there's two possibilities. Atsila Yadeha can mean her elbows, so that means to see her upper arms, or Atsila Yadeha could mean her armpits, and then it means that she's wearing a sleeveless dress, or like a very loose dress where you can see all the way up to her armpit. Rashi describes Kederach Adonius Shabbat Sarfas. Rashi describes the Goyish women in France in his time dressed that way. You could see their skin from their sides, like by the sides of their armpits. Or that she bathes together with men. So all of those, so man sees any of those things, and yet he tolerates it, and he doesn't say anything to her, and he allows it to keep going. What do you mean she actually bathes with men? Then Rashi says for sure, then her raglayim ladavar is a clear indication that she's a zoina, she flat out also to him. Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. First of all, Tosfos says, if anything, the other ones also maybe you would say. So Tosfos says, no, what it means is, in other words, that the Gemara is asking is that, look, if we're a chetzes in bnei Adam, first of all, we're talking about an Adam Ra over here. We're not talking about a guy who's completely, he has no morals at all. We're talking about some level of morals, at least. So even a kalash of a kalash, even the most princistic woman is not going to do that. And even the worst Adam Ra is not going to tolerate that. So what does that mean? So Elamar says, but Makam Shemene Adam Rothin. You're right. What it means is that she bathes in the same place where men do. In other words, that she goes in there, Rashi says, while they're watching, so they go out, they're in the middle of getting dressed, and she goes in, and they can all see that she's going in and getting ready, and then getting ready to bathe, which is a pretty sticker thing. So then and he tolerates that, and he doesn't do anything about it. So that's the middle we're saying of an Adam Ra. Now Marsha points out over here that first of all, in the mashal over here, we're saying three different things that a man does with a fly. So we said the first one is that he throws out the whole cup. The second one is he throws out only the fly. The third one is that he sucks out the fly as well. So how does that really fit with the nimshal over here? So why do we change from a kois in the first two to a tamfoy in the third one? So Rashi says, so Marshall says, like, nobody is going to tolerate an actual fly in a cup where it's be'ain over there. It's blatantly there in the cup. So that would be literally like a man actually sees his wife being Nizana and he doesn't do anything about it. Anyway, he's going to be back on that. Here we're talking about a tamachoy. It's a dish of food. It's a pot or a dish full of cooked food. So the fly gets, the fly dissolves in there. So you just see, he eats the whole thing. He's not mad with that there was a fly in there. So we're saying the same way over here, that again, she's not doing actual znus, but it's things that are very close to it, and he's not makbid, which is inappropriate. On the other hand, he shouldn't go to the other extreme, Papus Ben Yehuda, and lock the door in front of her and not and prevent her from even talking with her brothers and so forth. And as Rashi says, that causes a hatred between them, and that causes that eventually she'll look for any opportunity to be mazan. Anyway, the Gemara continues, getting back to the story over here. So the third one, the one over here where she's going out with her hair uncovered, or letting her sleeves ride up, etc., whatever. Zum mitzvah minatora lagarisha. This is the kind of case where it's a mitzvah minatora for the husband to divorce his wife if she acts like that. The pasuk says he finds in her ervas, and even the Shammai agrees that ervas is a valid reason to divorce her, and the shulchan mebeisa, and then he sends her away from his house with a get. And the brisa continues. Now the pasuk continues. Then she goes and marries another man. So why does the pasuk say acher? Who else is she going to marry? So therefore, it means hakosuv kroy acher. The pasuk is calling the second husband specifically acher, rather than calling him, for example, shady. It could have just said leish. It could have said leish shady or whatever. Why after the word acher? Loimer she'enza ben zuge l'rishon. Because the pasuk wants to imply that the second husband who marries a wife who acts like that is not like the first one. The first one sent away Rasha from his house, and the second one brought one into his house. So therefore, the pasuk calls him Acher to imply that he's the opposite of the first one. Meaning, in other words, my Rasha says he must have known of this Dvar Erva. After all, we said, for example, she was going out with her head uncovered or whatever. So this is the kind of thing that everybody knows. And yet he marries her anyway. So therefore he's called Acher. And the Braisa continues, Zocha Sheni, if now the second one does have Zchus after all, if, for example, for example, he realizes that he needs to improve things, then he sends her away also. Then he realizes this is not someone good to be married to, and he divorces her. Shnemo Sneo Ishachra, and as the pasuk continues, the second man hates her. So now it doesn't call him Acher anymore, because now he realizes that he should dislike her and he should divorce her. And if not, if he never realizes that Kevarto, then what's going to happen to him is he's going to die young, and she'll end up burying him. Or as the pasuk continues, or if the second man dies. In fact, when the pasuk says ki yomos, and we just learned before that ki can, or one of the meanings of ki can mean when, means kedaiyubimisa. He actually deserves to die. Because after all, the first one sent away a rasha from his house, and the second one knowingly married her, knowing that she's a rasha. So therefore, so he deserves that punishment unless he realizes and does trouble. Now, the Pasuk says that in the Novi Malachi talks about an issue that was going on in his times. There were, at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were families of men and women who had come from Babel back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash and resettle Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash tells us the Jewish women over there had a very hard time of it, especially on the roads, and therefore they became less attractive. So many of the men then either were divorcing them, or what they were doing is they were marrying goyish of wives. And there's a huge problem of intermarriage over there, which Malachi talks against it, and Ezra Sofer dealt with it. In fact, Gemara in Megillah says Ezra and Malachi may even be the same person. Anyway, so Malachi deals in his divorce with this problem that people are doing that men are divorcing their wives for no good reason. Because even fine, we have Rabbi Akiva saying, Matza Acheres Nahe Mena, but still, you know, Rabbi Akiva is not saying it's the right thing to do. And then second of all, how do you set aside a Jewish wife to marry a goyish one instead? So now there's a posik there that says ki sonei shalach, because hate send away. So what does that posik mean? Rabbi Yehuda im sinesa shalach. It means that the Navi is saying, if you really hate her, then send her away, like Rabbi Akiva is saying. But in other words, don't just send her away, stand because you don't find her attractive. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, on the contrary, the Navi is saying the one who sends away, the one who divorces his wife, is hated by Hashem. And the Gemara says, well, there's actually no machlokas. It depends whether we're talking about a first marriage or a second marriage. A first marriage, the Pasuk is talking about, but they're actually about a first marriage. It calls her Eishes Ne'urin, the wife of your youth. And then the Novi is criticizing them for sending away and divorcing the wives of their youth. So therefore, so by Zug Rishon, then the Novi is saying, don't do that. And Hashem hates that you do that when there's not a valid reason for it. Unless there's Dvar Erva, or like the civil saying, Hikdicha Tavshiloi, or something like that. Zug Rishon, then we have what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. V'hob zuk sheni, where's Rabbi Yehuda? What Rabbi Yehuda is saying, im sonei shalach, if you hate her, then divorce. So that's talking about zuk sheni, it's talking about second marriage. So it's not really, it's not your original bashert, it's the pasuk is not talking about that. So it's not necessarily such a close relationship to begin with. So therefore, we learned from Yevamos, for example, a man has greatest satisfaction from his first wife. We learned also over there that a woman really is most has a greatest connection with the man who made her a keli and made her capable of having children, which is by taking her basulim. So therefore, so a first marriage is a much closer thing, and therefore it should be much harder to break it up. The Amar of Allah, as in fact, Allah says, Kolam Garish Isha Rishona, when a man divorces his first wife, if a Mizbeach married all of the Mois, even the Mizbeach cries tears for him. Why should the Mizbeach cry tears? So one point is, Mefoshim explained, because a woman, when she's married, she's going to have children every so often, and every so often she's going to bring korbanos when she has children. Now the Mizbeach, so to speak, is sad that it's not having those korbanos. Anyway, Shenamar, you have in those psukim, those same psukim in Malachi, where he's criticizing the people for divorcing their wives, he says, the Zois Shenis Tav. So this is the second bad thing that you're doing after he describes over the marrying virgin women. Kaseis Dima is Mizbech Hashem B'chiva Anoka. You're causing the Mizbech of Hashem to be covered with tears and with crying and with moaning. The simple meaning is that the women, the Jewish women who were abandoned by their husbands and divorced by their husbands, are coming to the Mizbeach and crying. But here Rav Elazar is understanding that the Mizbeach itself is crying. Where to the point where Hashem doesn't want to turn at you and receive your mincha, or to take any willing offering, any carbon that you want to bring willingly from your hands. And the pasuk continues, now you're saying, why? What's the problem? What do we do wrong? Well, the reason is, Hashem has testified about what's going on between you and the wife of your youth, where you have been disloyal to her, you're divorcing her, you're marrying a Goyish woman instead of her, or whatever, or in addition to her, where she's your friend and the wife of your covenant. So in other words, the Mizbeach itself is, so to speak, being covered with tears for the fact that a man is divorcing Ishtar Rishon. So Marsha explains. Marsha explains elsewhere about this business about the korbanos, and he explains in some detail over here in connection with what Rashi explains. Rashi brings over here the details of that. More details about what Malachi is talking about. But we're talking about Eishes Nurech, again, the wife of your youth, and he goes on to say, Al Yivgo, you shouldn't be treacherous. And Marsha goes through and darshens the psukim at some length over here. Again, we and Hashem are like a wife to her husband. And we're saying, therefore, so we Jewish people are like you have been treacherous to Hashem. You've been treacherous to the relationship that you had with relationship to Hashem, and you shouldn't do that. And Hashem, therefore, won't, if you don't do that, then Al Yivgoy, then Hashem will not be disloyal to you either. Hashem will keep you as his wife, and you'll have the connection between you and Hashem. He brings also the connection over here. We learned in Sota, you have the famous thing about Ish v'Isha Zachu, Shechina b'neihem, because the man has the yud, the woman has the hay, and they have Ish between them. So you have, he's saying that if you zoicha and you keep your relationship with Hashem the way you're supposed to, then you'll have the fire of Ava, of love between you and Hashem on the Mizbeach, and therefore the Mizbeach will be happy with that. So therefore, that's why we're associating it with the Mizbeach. In that same sifa of Tavshin Yud Tes, the Rebbe also talks about the idea that the Mizbeach brings kapara even before people do tshuva, and that represents a very close relationship, the close relationship that Hashem has with us. Even before we do tshuva, Hashem still wants to be close with us, and therefore, when a man doesn't act that way with his wife, and he says, you know what, I don't need you anymore, I'm divorcing you, then the Mizbeach is sad about that and is murdered tomorrow. So the flip side of it is, now the Rebbe points out in that sifa, after having gone through 89 blocks of learning all the details and all the ins and outs of when to divorce and how to divorce and then so on and so forth, now the Masechta is finishing off with, ultimately, there should be no reason for it, there should be no need for it. We should always have that close relationship with Hashem as a husband to a wife. And if there has to be a temporary gerushin, a temporary separating away, then it's only for the purpose of coming to the higher level of relationship, which is the next Masechta, Kiddushin. Which is the kiddushin, the wife becomes kaddish and becomes reserved for and one with her husband, which is what we're going to learn in the next masech. Hadr malacha magadash or slikol masech to get.
Mazel tov.